Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 459, entitled Ben Pines on Building a Sustainable WordPress Business with Authentic Marketing. It was published on Thursday, the 5th of March, 2025. Just a few very short bits of housekeeping before we begin. Firstly, thank you to you, our listeners. I'm most appreciative that week in, week out, you join us for our This Week in WordPress show. We do that at 2 p.m. UK time at the easy-to-remember URL, wpbuilds.com/live. We always have loads of people joining in the comments, and it's very inspirational and keeps me going. And also, thank you for listening to this, the podcast. So we do two bits of content each week. We do the This Week in WordPress show. That gets parceled up as a podcast episode, and that comes out on a Tuesday. We also do this, the podcast, the thing that you're listening to now. So that's two bits of content each week. If you would like to be updated, the best place to do that is your podcast player of choice. Go there, search for WP Builds, and no doubt it will drop into your feed, and click follow. If you want to give us a like over there or a follow, or you'd like to somehow recommend us and give us a review, we would really appreciate that as well. The other thing to say is that if you would like to get your product or service out in front of a WordPress-specific audience, then we can do that for you. We're quite happy to put some sponsored messages into this podcast, advertising, promoting, explaining what it is that your product or service does. The best way to find out about that is to head to wpbuilds.com/advertise, or if you fancy something a little bit more personal, email me at admin@wpbuilds.com and we can begin that conversation. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, today I am chatting with Ben Pines. Ben Pines was actually one of the first people to come on this podcast, nearly 10 years ago now. Back then, he was really in charge of the Elementor marketing push. He's moved on since then. He's had a few forays outside of the WordPress space, but now he's back and he's trying to help businesses in the WordPress space and not necessarily entirely bound in the WordPress space, but that kind of thing. He's hoping to be able to help with his marketing skills, and no doubt the rise of Elementor was in some way contributed to by him. So he has the chops. So we talk about his background, what it is that he's been doing in the more recent past. What does he think about the WordPress community and where we are? AI plays a bit of a role because we talk about how that is making it more and more difficult to get your marketing messages out in front of your audience. And so he is promoting a founder-led model in which the founders and the people of significant interest in products get out there and be authentic, be themselves, market as individuals. And so he explains all about the rise of founder marketing and how it all works. And it's really interesting. And if you've got a product or service, or as you'll discover in this podcast, I do, then this is a really refreshing episode. And Ben explains how you can be yourself and market effectively at the same time. It's all coming up next. I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Ben Pines. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Nathan.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Been years. I think our first talk was like 10 years ago when Elementor launched.
If memory serves, and we'll let Ben do his bio in a minute so they can tell you all about what he did. I think you were one of the first podcast episodes that I did. Not the first, probably within the first 20 or so. I can't remember. I'll have to look into the archive. But it's been a while since we chatted. Tell us where you're at right now. What is it that you're doing? But maybe just preamble that with what did you do in the WordPress space? What have you, who have you worked for and things like that?
So yeah, I was in the early days of Elementor when it just got started and no one wanted to hear about it. And, a couple of people like you, Matt Medeiros, Brian Lee, that really helped early on. So thank you. And it became the huge thing that it is. So a bit about me. I've been in content marketing and marketing for 20 years. I did SEO, built WordPress websites, joined Elementor, spent there a few years, then did a tenure of like a few years at an AI company, like an AI tool. And then I decided about a year ago to pursue my dream, leave the comfy job as an employee and do founder-led marketing and start my own business.
So that's where we're at today, right? You're in the market for founders. Well, are you kind of like bound to WordPress, or is it online? Do you do kind of any offline stuff? Do you have a specific niche?
So funny thing is, I didn't think about WordPress so much. The niche that I was thinking was actually SaaS and startups and founders, which was kind of my area. And then somehow I happened to, you know, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. So I happened to get an interest and get some clients that were running WordPress companies. And I sort of added the points and figured out that it's actually a great fit, and my mindset and the way I'm building my service actually is a perfect fit for the mindset of WordPress and how it's built and community.
You kind of hear in the acting space, I know we're sort of segueing a little bit here, but you hear about this thing called typecasting, where, you know, an actor that's been doing such and such a thing for a long time, they then, when they try to move and do something different, people always associate them with that thing. You know, oh, you're always the baddie, so you only get baddie roles and things like that. Or you're only the goodie, you only get goodie roles, that kind of thing. Was there any of that? Have you ever sort of experienced a bit of that in your life? Like, oh, Ben, he's the guy that worked with Elementor. Have you had to sort of remove that a little bit from your life?
For sure. I was the Elementor guy. People thought I built the company. I was the face of the company for years. And definitely there's a part of that, because people still recognize me, and, you know, it's helpful. I'm like any typecast, like Kramer in Seinfeld, like it has its its pros and cons. I think there is another element to it. It's something that the CEO of Elementor actually said, Yoni said, told me in a conversation a while back, which is there's a certain type that is the WordPress person, the person who becomes, you know, this service provider who builds websites for a living. It's sort of the outsider, the person that wants to build things on their own, doesn't necessarily accept all the tropes, is a little bit suspicious. Like, there are a few, you can describe this persona, and I think I fit that persona, and I think that's part of why kind of that trust was built between WordPress and the Elementor community early on, because they kind of, what I said resonated a bit, like that contrarian view of like, listen, we're trying to build something, it's a community, we're trying to help each other. What? Like, that's not what Gary Vee is saying. So I think that's some part of it.
The email inbox that I have kind of gets filled up every year. Given that I've been podcasting for quite a while now, I've kind of become a bit of a foil. I think people, when they've got a new product, they kind of have this notion that a good way to promote that is with a bunch of people, like, I don't know, people who've got a YouTube channel or people who have a podcast and what have you. And so I get quite a few email each year from people who have built a thing, usually in the WordPress space, very, very infrequently outside of the WordPress space, but usually it's a plugin or something like that. And what becomes pretty obvious over time is that there's a lot of very skilled developers out there who are building what are probably really remarkable products that satisfy the market really well, but they have absolutely no idea of how to market it. Not just no idea, but they've also left it till the 11th hour to market it. So they've spent lots of time, probably resources, built the thing. And then once they built the thing, had this notion that, oh, I've built it, everybody's now going to flock to my brilliant thing. And of course, the reality is that's really not what happens. I don't know if that's kind of the market that you're trying to serve, these people who've built a thing, got a thing, it's ready to go. And then what, do they hire you to kind of do the marketing piece?
So let's delve into it for a bit. So everything you said is right. You have a developer who's not marketing oriented. They want to get it off the ground. They don't have any VC backing, and they're facing sort of this problem. How do I market it? If they go to, you know, any of the influencers, they don't understand the WordPress ecosystem, their budget constraints, the way the audience, the website builders who are not like big spenders. So honestly, there aren't too many ways they can market. So let's look at four ways usually products market themselves. You have basically sales-led, product-led, marketing-led, and founder-led. That's kind of the categories I see.
Can you just say those again? I want to get those in my head.
Yeah. So sales-led, that means that it's a big, usually it's a big product. Like if it's HubSpot or Salesforce, you get a few thousand dollars every year, you can spend the money building a sales motion. And sometimes you build a small plugin and eventually you also try to sell to enterprise, but that's not the first step. So sales is pretty much off, right? You have product-led. You know, these are products like Slack, products like Gamma, more recently, Canva, that basically they sell themselves. There's a way that it becomes viral. You have referrals, you have people selling to others. So that's product-led. That's big. In a way, the repository is kind of some sort of product-led.
Okay.
But in order to get like huge numbers of product-led, the repository is not enough. You need to invest a lot in, and not every product can be product-led. It has to have an element of virality for it to work. Like a technical product in WordPress will less likely be product-led. Okay. And then there are marketing-led, which basically you pay money, you have an ad campaign, or you do SEO. This was the main thing for the last 20 years.
Right.
I know because that was my profession. I did a whole lot of over the years, like I did every type of marketing-led, and it is not working anymore, especially to small solopreneurs, like micro SaaS and solopreneurs. Why is it not working? Well, the paid, that's obvious. Indie developers, they never use paid because that's much too expensive. Yeah. You need VC backing. But SEO, that's the thing that changed. It used to work. I started my career in SEO. It used to be great work. You produce content and it produced money. It produced users. That's what we did, part of the way Elementor grew. It's not working anymore because with AI, you can produce this content and people are not interested in it anymore. Plus the AI, ChatGPT and the likes are getting all the traffic. They're not sending it to sites. So that's not working anymore.
Mm.
So that leaves founder-led. Why is that the uprising thing that I recognize? And that's why I started this business, because in the age of AI content, people are more confused. So people are always thinking when they analyze the market about the producers. It's so much cheaper to produce content. They're not thinking of the audience. Does it change audience behavior? And it does. The more you have AI content, the less people are interested in using this. They're not interested in your AI content. You're still producing, but they're not interested in it. They're changing their consumer behavior. Where are they changing it to exactly trust people they trust? It's not a new thing. Like founder-led, you have people like Rand Fishkin and Annie Christodina, like trust, having one person that is saying something that you can trust and you can follow them and you get more and more of their content and you're exposed especially to their content. Nothing new there. But it was only a fraction of the people that needed to do that. Only 1% of the content creators needed to be these trust pilots. I don't know, these trust people.
Yeah, trusted sources.
The rest were like third world writers. I don't know, third world country writers that produce cheap content. That's not working anymore. So the new thing is like founder-led marketing, where the person who is the most knowledgeable, who has expertise, who built the product, who is on customer calls, who knows stuff because they, just from the fact they built it and they interviewed so many clients, they understand the needs. So I can go on, but the founder has a unique knowledge. And then, so that founder has two options. Either they outsource it, okay, they outsource this task. Someone else ghostwrite my content, and then more AI slop and more and content that they're not connected to and no real value. Or they can go according to my system, and basically they sit with me for 1 hour a week, and I pick their brains and get their expertise, turn it into, I take the all the elements of production from them, turn it into repeatable content, and that's their marketing early on.
Okay, let me just read that back to you then, so I'm sure that I've understood. So four strands, you've got sales, product, marketing, and founder-led. And the first three are obvious, and the one that you were most involved with was marketing, but for reasons that you've described, that's becoming less and less easy to manage because, I don't know, the budgets are going up, the attention is going down. And so we're now in this sort of founder-led scenario in which it kind of feels like the word that you would use to describe that is trust. You're in the business trust, exactly. Of slowly but surely building up trust, building up something approximating a relationship with these people so that when they see your face, when they hear your voice, they immediately associate it with that product. And because you've been doing it for years and years and years, and you haven't misstepped and you haven't done something gruesome and stupid, and you've said nothing which is, you know, nothing silly, overblowing, overpromising, that kind of thing, you've been authentic. And so over time, you become your own marketing channel. So I have a question about that. When you say founder-led, you were using the sort of singular there, like it was an individual. Can founder-led be done by somebody like you were at Elementor? So you weren't the person who founded the company, but in effect, you became almost like the founder of their marketing. You became that sort of trusted voice. Does that work, or does it need to in some way be the founder?
Yeah, there are certain examples where it worked. Eric Doughty from Doc, that's one marketer I know. Like, there are certain people that do that, and if you can, that's great. I just want to say one thing. Like, the trust, that's the element of it, but there needs to be a whole system. So what I'm pitching is like this. Tell me if this pitch works, if it makes sense.
Okay.
I'm a founder. I have two options. I know I need to produce content because I'm looking in LinkedIn, I'm looking at X, I'm seeing all these companies doing marketing. I know marketing is the thing, not a new feature in my product. I know that. But I have a company to run. I don't have time. So either I ghostwrite it and say, I don't want to deal with this. And we explain why this doesn't work because it's not giving any value to, you're not connected to it, you're not reading your stuff at all. And the other way is like, I'm doing it. I'm spending an hour a week and I'm producing things. So the missing element here is that's not all I do. Meaning when I work in that hour, it's true that we're talking about like creating the consistent content, which is the marketing, but I'm also looking at the whole thing, the whole marketing operation, like where do they go afterwards? How does the profile look? Like what does the landing page look like? What's the copy? Like what are sales talking about? Like the business needs to make sense. If someone is working with me, I want them, and they're they're promoting a plugin. It could be a small plugin. I need that small plugin to sell. Okay, they don't need, you know, to create content. So the way I see it, content is like a foot at the door for me. And I think why this makes sense to your audience is I think the same is true for someone building a website. So I'm building a website. This is what it does. And someone will say, yeah, but AI and that's it. I'm not just building a website. You know, I've built enough websites. And when a client comes to me, I'm building their website, but I'm also looking at the whole funnel. So the website has a squeeze page and there's a free service. So when the yoga instructor comes to the person who is building the website, they're helping with the website part. But I think they need to look at the whole thing. Like, I'm helping you sell. And that requires a lot. That requires you as someone who builds websites to spend time figuring out how to make a business work. Not just how to prompt engineer, how to automate your workflow. It's not something you're going to sell. You're not going to say, listen, go to my website building business and I'll fix your business. You're not saying it. You're just saying, listen, I'll build your website. But when a client comes in, you're building their business. You're helping them succeed, make money. And if you make it, they'll be so grateful. They pay you X, you gave them 2X.
Mm.
If you do that, that's the basic business logic. They paid you X, you gave them 2X because you understood their business.
Mm. Yeah.
And then you just repeat that, and you repeat that enough, and you have a business that's not, you know, AI buzzword or confused. It's like, it makes sense.
You mentioned AI a couple of times, and it sounds like you've got a fairly dim view of AI. I'm very conflicted by AI. I can, on the one hand, I can see how clever it is and how remarkable it is, but also I'm getting a sense, so we're recording this at the beginning of the year 2026, it's January, I'm getting a sense that out there in the real world, people are beginning to have intuitions which are more kind of suspicious about AI, kind of nervous that it's going to flood the landscape with, as you described it, AI slop. If that is the case, it feels like maybe the year 2026 for the founders that you talk about, if they do this right, they can really kind of position themselves as the anti-AI, if you like. And there's maybe a nice big leg up that you can get at this moment, where being a human being, yeah, and not being the AI slop generator is going to work in your favor.
I don't think it's the anti-AI. And I thought of a few. Definitely the human side is important, but it's not enough. So I'll say it like this. If you have the idea of like, I'm pro AI or I'm against AI, you've got the wrong idea. It's not like, that's not the case. AI is like alcohol, you know? You take it at a party, suddenly you're the life of the party. You say, oh, this thing is great. I need to use this thing. But then you become an alcoholic. The problem with AI is us as humans. We're addicted. We can get addicted very fast and go on the bad route of bad decisions. The bad decisions are the worst part. So I think what's interesting is saying, what's your antidote to bad AI? That's what I think is interesting. Like, if I were to interview someone, I would say, okay, you're pro AI, you're against AI. What's your antidote? My antidote, making business sense. Just getting the basic business and cycles work. Having the basic idea of like, I'm a service provider. I offer a service to someone. They pay me and I run them through a few actions and then they get the value. Once I have that nailed down, it's not easy to nail down as a manual service. Okay, I do this. Let's say I'm doing everything manual. I'm spending way too much time, let's say, figuring all the ins and outs of this. Then once I have a hypothesis that I'm saying, oh, this works, only then I think I can say, okay, if I can automate this part, if I can. So that's how I'm thinking about AI. So for example, I discovered that getting, like when I meet the founders, having the know-how of like what happened in the news and what happened with influencers in the last few weeks really helps me. Because I can, if they haven't been connected because they're busy, I can tell them, listen, this and that happened. Maybe we can write about it or address this. With AI, I can do that with no sophisticated automation fairly easily. And I can get the amount of information that I can get is huge. I still need the human part of how do I do it right. So for example, one of the things that I do, if I were to work with you, Nathan, I would say, what are the sources that you find already reliable? So you give me, I like this one, like I like Jay Akanzo, I like Andy Christina. I put this on the list. And then when I research AI, I'm going to say, okay, for the last 2 weeks, I'm going to like hit on those people first. That's already going to produce results that are, we're constantly in a state of over-information. And I'm always thinking, okay, how can I be the gatekeeper so I can have less information, both to my clients and to their audience, let's say.
Just sort of circling back on the sort of founder-led marketing and then trying to bind it to what you do. Let's imagine that I'm a founder and I come to you and I say, Ben, I've got a WordPress plugin. I'm a busy developer. I'm not really that comfortable writing my own content. I'm not really comfortable appearing in front of a camera and things like that. What are the kind of things that you're going to get into a discussion about with them and ask them to do? And then I guess we could take it the opposite way, where I am comfortable writing, I am comfortable appearing in front of the camera. How might we approach that? What are the kind of content things that you would create? How are you creating buzz? How are you creating, you know, recognition outside in the wider world? Let's go with the example of the more introverted founder first, the one who doesn't want to write content, doesn't want to appear in front of the camera. What do you do for them?
Yeah, so it's super important to have a clear understanding of all the strategy and the basic elements. Like, how does it work? Who is the target audience? Because the thing is, we are flooded with information. Like, Everyone is flooded with information. If you're producing over and over again content every week, so my service is the founder will produce every week content that he or she will put out. So that has to hit home in terms of the target audience, in terms of relevance to the product, in terms of kind of a contrarian view, having a framing it in a way that's kind of not obvious. We're in the stage where that's also necessary to so people can understand what you're saying. It has to have a certain format. Mm-hmm. But basically you have to have, once you have that idea, who is the target audience? And then we can start to think of the type of content that will stand out. So that founder, and founders vary according to their expertise. Some of them have a direct connection to their customers. So they can have sales calls and that will give them insights, or they've been out there doing, they're experts in their field. So like yourself, you're building a podcast product.
Yeah, that's right. So, a podcast plugin. Yeah, that's right.
So for your example, you know your shit. You know the industry inside out. You know everything there is to know as a podcaster. But someone else who has a product and their target audience not necessarily is what they did. So then we need a different approach to reach like the knowledge.
Yeah,
like,
makes sense.
We have
yeah.
to know
yeah.
what are the struggles that their audience, let's say their audience are WordPress developers. What do they struggle? What are they thinking? What's in their newsfeed? Okay, so once we have that, we have kind of the expertise side, then we phrase it as something that you want to say, like what is broken in the world? Like what is the thing? So there's the smaller circle, I call it, smaller circle, which is like what your product does. And then you write about it, you write about the results, etc. But there's the wider circle that is also interesting, that is also included in your expertise. So for example, for yourself, you have a podcast solution that does X, Y, and Z, but maybe that your expertise will be on the wider range of, let's say, podcasts in general, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. or let's say channels in general. So maybe you have something to say about, listen, it's the industry is broken. AI podcasts are not working. Like YouTube is all AI slop. I don't know. Like it takes time to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
Once we have it and we phrase it very simply, because every time you produce something, if you're producing every time weekly, every like a new content piece weekly, you can't go back to like the 5-page, 20-page strategy. You need something like a very concise thing that you're saying. Like I came here and said, like, I think the way people build service businesses is broken, you know? Then once you have that, then you can think of, okay, what's the format? What's the channel? And you start producing and it needs to be different than the advice. We're no longer in the advice how-to era. It needs to be sharing. So building public, things you're building that's of interest to your audience, news that happens, you give your take on it. Something happened, I don't know, WordPress came up with their new version. You're giving your take, why it matters. What do you think about it? So a few formats that are working nowadays, giving proof, like, for example, a client shared a story. So you have insight from the industry itself or data from your plugin. So these are not new, but I think the advice type of content went down.
It's kind of interesting because this is the bit that I find really difficult, is trying to figure out what is in the heads of other people and what will push their buttons. Because as a person that's been working building this plugin for ages, you know that it works. You know that it works for you, but you kind of, and also in my case, I'm scratching my own itch. This plugin that we're building, it does a lot of the things that I need this plugin to do for me personally. And I figure that maybe there's a bunch of people out there who have the same issues that I do. So this will help with that. But it's very difficult to kind of judge what that is. And it's very difficult to understand what everybody else would understand. And also, from the sounds of it, a lot of the content that you're advising people to make isn't necessarily the kind of thing that you would see, let's say, on a TV commercial. Look, here's a feature, here's another feature, here's the cost, bang, bang, bang. It's more kind of, here's our industry. Here's the kind of things that are going on. Here's some interesting news. Here's what a customer said. It's just this kind of wraparound, bigger, I don't know, I'm the authority, trust me kind of thing. So it's that I imagine would give people, there's a bit of a pause going on there for me, because I'm thinking to myself, how much time do I need to put into that each week without knowing whether that bit of content lands? Obviously, you know, over 6 months producing all of these bits of content, I'm going to have this really credible persona out there in the wider market. But each time I produce a piece of content, I think there's going to be a bit of me in the background going, is this bit going to land? Does this bit actually serve the needs of the marketing that I've got? Do you know what I mean? So there's that sort of concern. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the old saying of like, how does this promote? I'm just giving value here. How does this promote my business?
Right.
So I'm saying exactly like you hit home. It needs to make business sense. So what I'm saying is you spend between 1 and 2 hours producing that one piece. That one piece that's connected to your business. It may come from a sales call. It may come from, you know, you went to a conference, you gave a lecture, or you're interviewed in a podcast. Basically, you're running a business, a simple business, and maybe your clients you get them by outreaching. You're sending LinkedIn outreach, or you have some sort of business sense even without marketing. Mm-hmm. And the content that you're producing is like a layer of consistency that helps every part of your business. So let's say you outreach someone. Listen, you run a big community. You have 5,000 people who are my audience. Can I come to do a webinar? That person will go into your feed and see, oh my God, like this person shows up and you've built a brand. Maybe they already saw you. You've built a consistent brand, and you know that because you've been there for years. You're known, ranges, like yeah. You're the example. Yeah. You're the poster child. Like everyone knows you. That gives you. I don't know if you know how much leverage that brings you, as opposed to someone who's been developing in the dark. So yeah, it's like you need to look at your business from all angles and have it make sense.
There's a few people in the WordPress space. I won't mention any names, but if you've been following the WordPress space and the plugin space and WooCommerce and things like that, there's a few people in the WordPress space who just share all sorts of content. And some of it is direct marketing. You know, they're just telling you, we've got this new thing. Here's our new feature or our new, you know, price point, or we've got a sale on or whatever it might be. They do a bunch of that. But then they also just do curious things like, I don't know, they'll have a conversation with somebody and they'll put that online as a video blog or something. And then they'll do kind of like an end year summary of how our finances went this year. So none of the content kind of maps to sales. Well, some of it does, but the majority of it isn't to do with sales. It's just kind of building up this rounded picture of, here's our company. Here's what we do. here's why, you know, here's how long we've been around. Here's us trying to just demonstrate that we're good human beings. And all the while, it's just building up this, like I said, going back right to the start, it's building up this trust. It's something. I can't quite get my hands on how much of a something it is, but it's definitely a something. And if I was in the marketplace for the things that I know these people produce, because they're showing up all the time, they're right at the front of the queue for a reason I can't explain. They just end up at the front of the queue because they showed up.
I tell you the missing link. Everyone is saying trust, 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 trust. I think there's only one way to produce trust. That way is to think of the business sense, to make sense in a business way. Okay, and I don't think all creators, even those who propone trust, are doing it. What do I mean? Like, I can build a business, okay, and I'm doing build in public. So I'm sharing my journey. If I'm doing it right, I'm building my business to be sustainable, to actually be a profitable business. So I'm sharing actual business sense. Okay, it makes business sense. It's working. I'm sharing what's working for me because I thought about it. It's not happening by mistake. I thought of the right product, the right way to do marketing, to outreach. I thought of all those things and I'm sharing it. And people appreciate and it builds trust. The other way is like I'm giving value. So I'm actually, I thought of how my clients or my audience will actually get value. And I do it, I give them, and they get value. It's not like most of the content out there. I'm not sure, even the top one, I'm not sure if someone listening to Tony Robbins, I'm not sure if their business will be better if a WordPress, maybe it's not specific enough. If a WordPress developer listens to Tony Robbins, I'm not sure if their business will improve. But if they listen to someone that makes it, so that's what I'm saying. It had the only way to build trust is to make sense in a business way. You listen to me and you're not listening to me because I'm, you know, Ezra Klein, that I'm doing political. You're listening to me too because you want to improve your business. So I think, yeah, thinking about trust as there's only one way to build trust, and that is to make business sense.
Mm.
Either for my business, my client's business, or my audience business. I need to make it work.
In terms of the sort of concrete nature of what you're proposing then, you mentioned sort of like 1 or 2 hours there. That seems like a really nice light touch. So if I'm a founder, obviously I want to be spending most of the time inside my business, and the marketing, whilst important, you know, you've got to focus on the business. So is that kind of it? Are you proposing kind of like one morning or one afternoon a week will be enough in consultation with you? I come to you, you give me the ideas, I go off, make that content, and it's kind of like a few hours. That's it per week. That should
yeah,
be enough.
Yeah, yeah. But why is that? Because a marketing, like I heard a Lenny Rachinsky podcast interview recently where he interviewed someone who was early worker at Facebook. And she said early on at Facebook, they had three goals, three business goals, like increase engagement, increase revenue. I forget, but they were focused on three goals. If you're focused, like I'm doing marketing, you have your new product that you want to market. If you're doing one research and one, video series, and one, you're kind of spread out and you're doing all that, it's like opening a restaurant in your backyard. You opened a restaurant, but you did it in your backyard. You didn't really give it the attention it needed. It needs for something to lift off in terms of marketing and content, needs to have consistency over time. You need dedication. You need to do it for a while. So what I do is when I start working on, we're cleaning the plate and just experimenting. So, you know, we're building up a hypothesis. In order to build the marketing for the podcast tour, we're going to put out this thing. This will turn to down the funnel to this and that, and the whole marketing hypothesis. Then we're spending a few months proving that hypothesis. At the end of that period, I don't know, something like 3-4 months, we either refute, we say it didn't work, we failed, or we say, oh, it worked, we got the results we wanted. Most plugin developers and businesses in general, they reach the three, four months, and they're saying, okay, I don't know. I don't know if it worked. Like, I already switched to something else. Like, it didn't work, I think.
So, are you available for hire at the moment then? Are you actively finding, Are you actively seeking clients to fill up your roster? Is that something that you're interested in?
I'll do the marketing speak of. I have a few last spots. And people can definitely reach out on LinkedIn and talk to me, even if they just need some advice.
Are you limited to sort of like the online world? So, for example, WordPress plugins, WordPress themes, any WordPressy thing, plus the whole SaaS universe as well. Is that kind of where your marketing advice would end up, the sort of online world, as opposed to, I don't know, bricks and mortar shops and things like that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. Less much so in terms of, if it's a business of a digital product and all that, it's also relevant. But yeah, brick and mortar, less much so.
Okay. And just before we knock it on the head, Ben, what is the best place that we could find you? I know that you've got email, and do you have a sort of website where people can look you up or any of that?
Yeah, benpines.com.
Oh, nice.
And I'm usually on LinkedIn, and hopefully in 2026 also will up my YouTube game as well.
Yeah, it's eating your own dog food. Physician, heal thyself and all of that. So yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you, Ben, for chatting to me today. I really appreciate that. I hope that the service that you're offering resonates with people, and that you are inundated, and this marketing channel proves its worth. Thank you so much for chatting to me today.
Thanks, Nathan.
You're welcome. Okay, that's all we've got time for. I hope that you enjoyed that. If you want to make a comment on that, head to wpbuilds.com, search for the episode, which is 459, and leave us a comment there. We'd really appreciate it. We'll be back next week for This Week in WordPress. Don't forget wpbuilds.com/live, 2 p.m. UK time, and we'll also have another podcast episode for you. Remember that if you want to get in touch about inserting your product as a sponsor inside this podcast, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise, or just email me, admin@wpbuilds.com. I hope that you have a nice week. I hope that you stay safe. Here comes some cheesy music. Bye-bye for now.